Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out with us this evening. We have visitors again. We're so glad you're here. We've been having really good services, really good attendance, and speaking for myself, I'm encouraged and feel edified to see so many people in the audience that want to learn God's Word. We're going to continue the series I've been doing on the prophets, and this evening we're going to look at the book of Haggai, and that is a book that's not too familiar with some people. So if you go to Matthew and just start turning back in the Old Testament, you go back a couple books, several books, and you'll come to Haggai. A couple ways to summarize this book. If I were asked what would be the theme of it, I would say, get to work, get to work. A couple questions that illustrate the book. What are your priorities, and where are your priorities? As we look at the minor prophets we've been going through, and again, we're studying these in chronological order, not necessarily the order we find them in the Old Testament, but when we get down to the end of the Old Testament, they are going to be in order. And something to add to the chart that I've been using, and I said, to help you remember the prophets, remember four different places: Nineveh, Babylon, Israel, and Judah, because the prophets prophesied to those four different places: Nineveh, Babylon, Israel, and Judah. Now, I've added something since we're down to the last three books. So you remember four places and remember three times. The prophets either prophesied before the exile to get the people to repent, and that's when the majority of the prophets prophesied, was before the exile. There were two prophets that prophesied during the exile. That was Ezekiel and Daniel, and they prophesied in Babylon. And then there were three prophets that prophesied after the exile: Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And we mentioned that briefly when we were going through the restoration period, where they came out of captivity and went back to Jerusalem. And we'll look at that a little bit more as we get into the lesson. Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. We looked at the shortest one, Obadiah. This is the second shortest one. And if I don't get sidetracked and start talking too much, we'll read through it and try to cover all the verses. The meaning of Haggai is the joyous one. The audience is the remnant, the people that returned from captivity to Jerusalem. And it's a lesson, it's a book about choices. What are the choices that we have? We can either do the work of God, or we can do what we want to do. An outline of this short book, there's a message to build the house, then a message to support, I am with you, a message to confirm, from this day I will bless you, and a message to assure, and that day I will make thee. I want to go through a couple slides on this before we get into the text. As soon as they came up out of captivity, they set up an altar for sacrifice, and within a year laid the foundations of the temple. We read that in Ezra chapter 3. They were served with a prohibition from a Persian court and charged not to go on with it. The Persians forced them to stop with violence until the Jews offered no opposition. They had no spirit to set about it again and let it stand incomplete. And again, as we were going through Ezra and Nehemiah, we see where Cyrus let any of the Jews that wanted to to return to their homeland, Jerusalem. The other nations round about put pressure on them to stop in their effort to rebuild. As soon as they came up out of captivity, they set up an altar for sacrifice, and within a year laid the foundations. We have no personal history of the prophet Haggai, other than he's the earliest of the prophets of the Restoration. And again, we know that by the time of the kings that are recorded. In Haggai 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is this the time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and his house lie waste? The Persians were still a threat, but Haggai urged the Jews to undertake the work of rebuilding the temple. 4 months later, he was joined by Zechariah. In 4 years, the temple was completed. The chief governor was Zerubbabel of the tribe of Judah. He was commander-in-chief of the Jews in their return out of captivity. So this is going to deal with, again, after the period of the exile. When they go back to Jerusalem, they are met with opposition, and they have some choices to make. If you remember, one of the lessons I mentioned when we were studying Ezra and Nehemiah, and it was a message of Haggai the prophet, when we are discouraged in doing the Lord's work, discouragement is no excuse to neglect our duties. Discouragement is no excuse to neglect duties. And a lot of times people make excuses. I don't feel like doing the Lord's work because of this or because of that. Here is one of the greatest works that was going on, rebuilding the temple, and discouragement was no excuse to neglect the duties. When is the time to do a good work? Now. We don't procrastinate. Again, another lesson from Haggai. The basis for all successful teaching is, Thus saith the Lord. You go back to what God said, not to what man said. We'll see this repeated over and over in this short book, Thus saith the Lord. Another lesson from the book, we are not to live in fine dwellings and allow God's work to lie in ruin. They had taken care of themselves, but they had not taken care of the Lord's house. Again, these are just plant in our mind as we read through here, but we can see that in some places today. You go to a visit someplace and they have a small, rundown building, and some people pull up in the finest new cars, wearing the best clothes, and it just, that's an outward indication they're putting their own desires ahead of the Lord's work. No amount of holy service, building the temple or church work, will cleanse us if we have not repented. And again, back to the restoration, where they were restoring the walls, restoring the temple. The hardest thing to restore that the prophets tried over and over and over again was to restore the people's hearts back to God. You get the heart back to God and everything else will take care of itself. So let's start and go through the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1 beginning. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, So notice here, we have this recorded in history, the reign of King Darius, the time down to the first day of the month, and the word of the Lord came by Haggai. This book is going to contain several oracles. What is an oracle? It's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. That's what that phrase means. This doesn't say the first one here, but this is the first one. The oracle, the word of the Lord that came by Haggai. We have that word. We don't use it too often, but we have that word mentioned in the New Testament in 1 Peter 4:16. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, giving a thus saith the Lord. So verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. And this is a phrase that's going to be used over and over again. Thus speaks the Lord. So he's not speaking on his own. He's establishing authority, going back to the Lord, not just some God from out in the nations, but the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Haggai is very much to the point. He's very direct. He's blunt. He's going to just say, you need to go build the temple. Take care of doing the Lord's work first, your work second. And that's going to be repeated throughout this short book. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. So here we see in verse 6, he mentions five things to consider. In verse 5, consider your ways. Consider five things for them to consider. And then he enumerates them. You've sown much, but bring in little. I wonder why they brought in little. You eat, but you aren't full. I wonder why they aren't satisfied with what they're eating. You drink, but are thirsty and not drunk. They still have this thirst. You wear clothes, but are not warm. And he who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. I think that's an interesting phrase. It's like you go out and you work and you get your money, you put it in your pocket and it's got holes in it and it just falls out. What's he saying? Their work was useless. What they were doing was useless. It was unfulfilling. It was not what it ought to be. And why is it? Because of the attitude that they had toward the Lord. They were taking care of me first, and then we'll take care of the Lord. Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. And why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. So again, here he says, consider his ways. Verse 10, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains and on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, on all the labor of your hands. He says, consider your ways. He says, consider your ways again. We need to consider our ways. Are we getting out of life what we would like to? Are we putting God first? Or are we putting God second? And notice, He talks about these things that are taking place, a drought on the land. In verse 11, I called for a drought, and notice what this drought is coming on, a drought on the land. Number 2, a drought on the mountains. Number 3, a drought on the grain. Number 4, a drought on the new wine. Number 5, the oil. Number 6, what the ground produces. Number 7, a drought on men. Number 8, a drought on cattle. Number 9, and on all the labor of your hands. There's going to be a drought. It's going to be harder. You're going to have to work harder and get fewer results. And why is that? Again, they aren't putting God first. They aren't putting God first. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke concerning the message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius. So Haggai is getting on the people because God has let them come out of captivity. The ones that wanted to return to Jerusalem could return. They were returning to establish the city, establish the worship to continue. And they didn't care about doing that. They, for one reason or another, they didn't care about doing that. And why was this so important? And we'll see when we get in to the second chapter. This temple is a special place. And as we read in Ezra and Nehemiah, when they rebuilt it, the people that had been there from the earlier generation, they cried because the glory was not as great as the original temple. But Haggai is going to say, this temple is going to be greater than the earlier one. And every so often, I talk about chapters in the book and mention a movie to connect it with. And if you ever saw the movie, The Field of Dreams, what was that about? They built this baseball field, and these baseball players were going to come and play this really special game. You just think about that. Now, how does that connect with the story of Haggai? You build this temple, and the Messiah is going to come. He's going to fill this temple, and that's pointing to the church. And the glory of the church, that temple, is going to far overshadow the glory of Solomon. It's what everything in the Old Testament is pointing toward, the coming of the Messiah. Chapter 2. In the 7th month of the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying. So here we have the second oracle, where God is speaking to Haggai. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? So that's what I was saying just a minute ago. They're rebuilding the temple, the ones that saw it previously. This is nothing compared to what it was earlier. Verse 4, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Do we get discouraged and we don't want to do the Lord's work sometime? Yeah, I think we all get discouraged sometimes. And what's the answer? Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, if God is with us in doing the work is going to get accomplished. Be strong and work. Verse 5. According to the word that I commanded with you, when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. I will fill this temple with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this later temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, he talks about the silver is mine, the gold is mine. If God wanted this temple to be more glorious than Solomon's temple, he could just shake the nations and get all the gold and silver that he wanted to make this temple more glorious. This verse is quoted over in Hebrews 12. Let's turn over to Hebrews 12 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You see how all of this ties together as we've been studying in the Psalms about the different kingdoms, and they're going to be like gone with the wind. All of these nations are going to go away. They're going to be shaken. But we have received a kingdom. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, this kingdom is going to be eternal. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, we see his jealousy. But this temple, the glory of this temple, this house is going to be the church that's going to contain the glory of God. And ultimately, who is going to build this house, this temple, this church? Who's going to build it? The Son of God, Christ. Christ, the Prince of Peace. There's going to be peace. Peace between us and God. Verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying. So here we have oracle number three. Thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said no. Now notice he's setting them up. These are some logical questions. If you do this, is it going to be holy? No, it's not going to be holy. Verse 13, then Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. You see, the people were not right with God. They understood with asking these questions about the priest where the things were unclean. And now he comes home to the people. And there are four things here that are mentioned as unclean. The people are unclean. The whole nation is unclean. The work of their hands is unclean. And their offerings is unclean. And why is that? Because they didn't have their heart right with God. So again, you can do all of these external things. You can do all of these external things, and if your heart isn't right, God is not going to accept it. Verse 15, he holds out hope here. And now, carefully consider, again, this word over and over, consider. Carefully consider from this day forward and from before the stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail and all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. He's saying, I kept trying to get your attention over and over and over, and you wouldn't repent and turn to me. So what's he say? The word repeats again, verse 18. Consider now, from this day forward, from 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet still in the barn? As the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. There's a couple of different ways to look at this verse. And sometimes we use this verse to talk about doing evangelism, and we need to get the seed out of the barn. But there's, and that's true. But there's something else going on in here. Is the seed yet still in the barn, yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not yielded fruit? From this day I will bless you. So is the seed still in the barn? No, he's saying the seed isn't in your barn. You got the seed out of your barn. You planted it. You planted it before you did the Lord's work. And is the Lord blessing you with your crops, with your produce, with your increase? He's not blessing you because you have things backward. You have things backward. It's a matter of choices. It's a matter of priorities. We put God first. We seek Him first. God is going to take care of us. We seek and put ourselves first. And we may think we're getting ahead, but there's going to be a day of judgment. And there's going to be a lot more heartache and sorrow because we cannot trust in the Lord. Look at verse 20. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying... So notice, if you're keeping track, this is the fourth oracle. And notice, back in verse 10, on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai. Verse 20, and again, the word of the Lord came on the 24th day of the month, saying. So he had two sermons in one day right here. The Lord spoke to him twice. And he's speaking to the people, and now he's speaking to Zerubbabel. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile nations. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. This last oracle, speaking to Zerubbabel, talking about things to come. And again, God is going to shake heaven and earth. He's going to overthrow the kingdoms of the earth. And he wants his temple built. He wants his temple built. He wants his people to do the work. And again, it's not just so there's a fancy temple with gold and silver, but it's going to to point toward the coming of the Messiah, of the Christ, that's going to fill the temple, the house, the church, with the glory of God. And he wants his people to get their priorities straight. A few more lessons that we can get from this short book. Prosperity often distracts from doing the Lord's will. They were trying to plant and build and do things for themselves. They had their fine, fancy homes, and they were neglecting the Lord's work. As I mentioned earlier, a cure for discouragement is hard work. When we get discouraged working for the Lord, what do we do? Do we just sit down and cross our arms and say, I just can't do this anymore? No, we need to get up and we need to work twice as hard. And that's going to get rid of any discouragement we have. And God will bless us. The successful individual listens to the "Thus saith the Lord" over and over, as all the prophets. Haggai says, "Thus saith the Lord." The successful individual often considers the direction of his life. Again, the prophet, I didn't add them up, but it seems like about half a dozen times in these two chapters, he says, consider, consider. Do we stop and take time to consider what's going on in our life? If we're going in the right direction, is God blessing us, or is God holding things back from us? And finally, again, to repeat what I said earlier, the time to do a great work is now. It's now, right now, today. We don't think about, well, what are we going to do 5 years from now, 10 years from now? The time to build the temple was then, right then. The time to do the Lord's work is right now. If we aren't doing the Lord's work, we need to join that temple, that church, that house he built, that family of God, so that we can start working for the Lord. And we won't be, when we work for the Lord, we won't be like those people that had holes in their pocket, and they were working hard and putting their money in their pocket, and it was falling right out through the holes. When we work for the Lord, our work is not in vain. He's going to bless us. We're going to lay up for treasures in heaven, and it'll be worth everything that we do. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.